Chapter 62. There would be no repeat of Jerusalem this time, Maria thought to herself. Working under the glow of the tanker's deck lights, she carefully inserted a dozen individual blasting caps into separate blocks of the HMX plastic explosive. She then wired each blasting cap to individual electronic timer fuses. Glancing at her watch, she stood and gazed past the ship's bow. Ahead on the horizon was a blanket of twinkling white dots layered beneath a hazy black sky. The lights of Istanbul were now less than 10 miles ahead. Kneeling down to the deck, she set each timer for a 2-hour delay, then activated the fuses. Placing the charges into a small box, she climbed down into the opened section of the forward port water tank. The floor of the tank was packed tight with crates of ammonium nitrate fuel oil, and she had to snake her way past a maze of pallets to reach the center. In a cramped nook, she found a wide stack of wooden bins that held 3,000 pounds of HMX. She proceeded to bury one of the charges deep into the middle bin, then stuffed 4 more of the charges in nearby crates of the ANFO. Making her way to the starboard side tank, she repeated the process with the remaining charges, ensuring that they were all safely concealed. She was climbing back to the ship's bridge when her cell phone rang. She saw, to no surprise, that it was her brother calling. "Austin, you are up early," she answered. "I am on my way to the office to personally witness the occasion." "Don't stand too close to the window. There's no telling how powerful the blast will be." Maria could hear her brother snicker. "I am sure there will be no disappointment this time. Are you on schedule?"
"Yes, we are operating to plan. The lights of Istanbul are already in view. I have arranged for the event to transpire in just under 2 hours."
"Excellent. The yacht is on its way. It should rendezvous with you shortly. Will you be joining me?"
"No," Maria replied. "I think it is better if the crew and I disappear with the Sultana for a short while. We will take the boat to Greece for safekeeping, but I will make my way back in time for the election."
"Our destiny is near, Maria. We shall taste the fruits of our labor shortly. Farewell, my sister."
"Goodbye, Austin."
As she hung up the phone, she reflected briefly on their odd relationship. They had grown up together on an isolated Greek island and, by nature, had been close siblings, drawing nearer after their mother had died at a young age. Their demanding father had placed high expectations on them both, but he had always treated Austin like waiting royalty. Perhaps that is why she had always been the tougher of the two, baring knuckles and fighting her way through her youth, more a second son to her father than a daughter. Even now, as her brother went to sit in his gilded office, it was she who commanded the ship and led the mission. She had always been the shadow fighter, while her brother took the front seat. But it was all right with her, for she knew that Osden was nothing without her. Standing on the bridge and peering over the broad bow of the tanker, she felt she was the one in power now, and she would enjoy every second of it. But her shell of armor cracked slightly when the ship's radio suddenly blared.
"Istanbul Coast Guard to Tanker Dayan. Istanbul Coast Guard to Tanker Dayan. Come in, please."
An angry scowl crossed her face. Then she turned and spat to the pilot.
"Assemble the Janissaries."
Ignoring the radio call, she turned and quietly studied the tanker's radar screen, mentally preparing for the coming engagement. The emergency midnight diplomatic warnings from Israel and the U.S. were ultimately directed to the Turkish Coast Guard, whose Istanbul command base gave assurances that all approaching tankers would be stopped and searched well short of the city. A local fast patrol craft was scrambled, joined by an Istanbul police boat, to stand picket south of the Bosphorus. Tensions heightened when a large, unidentified ship appeared on the radar screen, steaming north. Suspicions were immediately raised when the vessel's automatic identification system transponder was found to be deactivated. When repeated radio calls went unanswered, the smaller and speedier police boat was dispatched to go investigate. Racing toward the ship, the police soon saw by its shadow and running lights that it was clearly a tanker the size of the Dian. The police boat zipped down the tanker's high flanks, then circled around her stern. The police commander took note of the Israeli flag flying from the aft mast as he read the ship's name beaded in white letters across the transom. "It's the Dian," he said, transmitting to the Coast Guard patrol boat. They were to be the last words he would ever speak.